Our first reading is from Psalms 27, verses 13 through 14. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Our second reading is from Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall to exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. The next reading is from Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 8. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Please stand for the scripture reading. From Philippians 1, verses 6 through 8. Very, very famous verse, just so you guys know. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out unto completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. So, how many of you have ever served someone, being like a meal? Anyone been a server? Has anyone ever been a waitress or a waiter in their life? Okay, well, I got good news. This sermon is for you. So we talk about, you know, the title is called We Are All Waiters. And so I'm a guy, so I say waiters. So I'm sorry if I don't say waitresses, but I mean the same thing. So we are all waiters. And I had this thought, God gave me this thought about waiting. And what is waiting really, really, really like? Well, you know, I think about what a waiter does when they're waiting on someone, you know. And the first thought came, well, they have a lot of patience, right? When they're walking up, when they had a long day, there's a big staff of people, right? They got the cooks in the back, they got the head chef, they got, you know, the manager, they have the, you know, the other staff with them, and then there's this person or this family that comes in, and man, they're just being really disrespectful. And you gotta keep that composure. You got to not say something super mean to them, and you just got to be patient with them. And you got to stick through it to the end of that, however long they're going to be there for. Now, you do have a right. You can choose, in that little time of being patient, to choose to not be patient. You can choose to lose your cool. You can have a snarky, snarky comeback at that person, and you can feel really good in that moment. And then you walk back to the staff, and you're like, oh, man, I should not have said that. So how many times when we're actually waiting on God have you been like, man, I really jumped the gun on that one. I shouldn't have done that. And then we got to go back, and then we got to repent, and we got to pray because of our own impatience. And so when I think about patience, you know, I think about David, right? I think about David sometimes. Man, David was patient, right? And Samuel came up to his dad and his brothers. He was like, well, these guys are it. And David, they're like, no. No, they're not. These guys aren't the ones. They looked the best. They had the best features, but they weren't the ones. And then there was David, small David, probably about 5'4", really tiny, small, slender, probably had no muscle on him. But man, could that guy fight off some lions, right? And so he was patient. He had this God told him this thing that he was going to do. You know, you're going to be the king of a nation, you know, a mighty warrior. And he had to be patient with that. He had to trust, because David was, you know, I guess you could say a servant or a server to the king, who was Saul, who was also called just like David was. But Saul, in his own impatience, decided to do things his own way, right? After a battle, he went off, and instead of praising God, he decided he was going to praise himself for all the good things that he did, right? This is me. This is what I'm doing. And so David had to be patient with that, because Saul started to get a little bit angry. And so David had to be patient with him for a long time. And then when Saul, just like, if you guys don't know that psalm, it was actually written while David was in the cave. He was fleeing. And that's where that came from. Actually, most of the psalms come from the time when David was actually waiting to see if, are these people going to not kill me? Is God going to release me from this captivity that I'm in right now? And he had to wait. And so David knew that patience. He knew it. He knew what it was like. When Absalom was chasing him, you know, he knew what that was like. He knew what that long suffering and patience was like. And, you know, we think about waiters as well. They got to have a lot of trust as well, right? They got to trust the cook in the back. Because, you know, when they bring them that ticket, when they go to that person, they get their meals for other people, they got to and bring that ticket, they got to bring it all the way back to the cook, and they got to trust that that cook is going to, you know, make that meal for them, right? They can't be sitting, walking back every now and then going, hey, is that food ready yet? Is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? No, you can't be doing that. You got to trust that that cook is going to do their job, just like the cook trusts that you're going to do your job. And so with God, we have to trust God that he's going to prepare whatever it is he has for us. So if God is cooking something up for us, we have to trust that he's going to prepare it. We can't be going back to God going, God, is this ready yet? And he's going to say, no. Is it ready yet? No. Is it ready yet? No. He's going to say, are you just going to be patient with me and trust me that I'm going to see to it, that I'm going to prepare it for you and bring it to you? Because what happens if a cook... If the waitress got so impatient, the cook said, you know what, just here, take it. And it was this big, fat, raw meat on your plate. You'd be so upset. You'd be like, well, this isn't good. I can't have this. Right? And the cook has to be patient with the cook. The waitress got to be patient. And then the people who it's going to, they have to be patient as well. So if we're a server, we're all called to be these servers, and we're going to bring the gospel to people, we have to be patient as well. So we have to be patient with other people. So I talk about the patience of a mother, right? There are some mothers who have been praying for years that their child would just come to Jesus. And they can, in their own impatience, you know, choose to yell at them, you know, use the gospel at them and say, you gotta come to Jesus now. Or they could just be patient. And so mothers are extremely patient. I mean, they waited 9 months to birth babies. That's a lot of patience, right? And then we think about Isaiah and Jeremiah. How many people know about Jeremiah? Anybody know much about Jeremiah? Well, so Jeremiah was a guy who was very, very obedient to God. And was someone, if you were to look at his life on this surface level, you would probably think that, man, that wasn't very good. I mean, nothing that you did was even that good. I mean, every time you said something, no one believed you. They didn't listen to you. He spoke to people because at that time, his people were turning away from God and they were seeking out false gods, right? They were starting to do, kind of like Nehemiah, where the people in the city were, you know, sex trafficking happened, there were slavery happening, kind of the same thing with Jeremiah was going through. And God was telling him every time to, you know, tell them this, you know, repent, turn away, you know, God's judgment's coming. You got to repent. You got to turn away. You got to come back. And every time they were like, no, that's not going to happen. They would throw stones at him, and they would lock him up just like they did Paul. They would put him in prison. And so his whole life was just spent, you know, just obedience to God and just, you know, trusting that whatever he's saying is actually going to go out to someone who needed to hear it. Right? So when we bring the gospel to people and we're in our season of waiting, just like Jeremiah and David, you know, there's a lot of patience that we have to have, and there's a lot of trust that we have to have, right? And Isaiah too, right? Isaiah was a prophet. Most of Isaiah, actually probably almost all of Isaiah, is prophecy. And what that is, it's foretelling of Jesus' coming, the first coming of Jesus. And it also talks a little bit about the second coming. But Isaiah, so in Isaiah, in my study Bible, it said hope for the nations was the top part of that chapter, which was chapter 40. So all of that chapter is hope. And then towards the very end of that chapter, it's like, he is going to renew your strength and you're going to rise up on wings like eagles. Well, you're like, man, I don't feel strong. I've been waiting for years, you know, for God to do something in my life. God spoke something to me 40 years ago and it still hasn't happened. And I just don't feel strong anymore. I feel pretty weak. Well, he is our strength. God is strong. It's not saying that we have to be strong. If we're not strong, that's great. That's opportunity for God to come and renew your strength. And so there's these things while we're waiting that, you know, we have to do. You know, waiting and serving. Well, how do we serve, right? How do we properly serve God while we are waiting for something to happen? Patience. Patience. Trust. And then the next one is confidence. And Paul had an extreme amount of confidence in the Lord. If you really want to talk about being chains, in chains for the gospel, in chains for Jesus, let's look at Paul. Because everywhere that guy went, he was either locked up or he was in a storm or something, right? And this was a guy who persecuted the church relentlessly. Like, if for him, if someone who was a Christian was to die back then, he was like, that's awesome. And Jesus met him on the road and changed his life. And then ever since then, he brought the gospel to so many people. He went to the Corinthian church. Man. There were people who were there when Paul started that church there. They were getting swept up by culture, right? We can see that now. We can see people being swept by culture. And back then, society, they were starting to seep back into society. So they were drinking. There were, you know, there's a lot of orgies and stuff like that happened in the Romans. And that's what they were doing. They were getting involved in that. And Paul was telling them, turn back from that. You got to stop doing that. And so then the Philippians. So most of Paul's letters, they were actually written while he was in prison. So those are called the prison letters. So some of the greatest scriptures that we read in the New Testament come from a man who was in chains waiting, literally waiting for God to release him from his captivity. And so he had to have a lot of trust, he had to have a lot of patience, and he had to have a lot of confidence, right? And when Paul could have wrote his letters like, I'm going to just complain to all these people and tell them how bad my time is here. This is horrible. Man, what I'm going through is terrible, and not a single person is, you know, helping me out, blah, blah, blah. And Paul could have done that, but he didn't. And so they didn't have phones back then. Right, they didn't have, you know, texting or emails or phone calls. They had people, and so one of Paul's spiritual mentees was Timothy, and other people. And so Timothy and people would come back and report what was happening in these churches. Right, so Paul started all these churches. He planted them. He was a church planter, and he wrote he put people in place at all these churches. So if there's like five churches, Paul was like, yep, you're going to, and they would all come back and report back to him. Timothy was the one who would come back and report. So in the Philippian church, they were faithful. They were, you know, really praising God, and they were really just, you know, I guess you could say good Christians. And Paul was just feeling really encouraged by their faith in Jesus. And so that's where Paul sees that. He said, I have a right to feel this way about you. Right here, he says, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share God's grace with me. Man, isn't that amazing? The guy who, everywhere he went, everywhere, from the Romans, Philippians, Ephesus, Colossae, everywhere the guy went, he was in chains. And he was in chains right here. The verse where he talks about whether I die or I live, God gets the glory. That's the same guy, and he's saying it here again. Like, my confidence isn't in what I'm going through right now. My confidence isn't in that. It's in God. And if he started something in me, he's going to finish it. Did he not do that in the Old Testament? He used Isaiah to preach about the coming of Jesus, all the way from Adam to the new Adam, which is Jesus. He was faithful. Isaiah was preaching to his people to give them this hope that Jesus is going to come and restore everything that has been lost, everything has been broken. It's going to make it new. So Paul, with our own church and what we're going through right now, God started something 10 years ago. And this has been on my heart for a long time. He started something 10 years ago. How many churches can say that they've been around for 10 years? Not many, but he started something. Everything that he starts, he completes. Everything. And then we get to Mary. Because it's Mother's Day, and I'm going to talk about Mary a little bit. Mary got a vision from an angel that she was going to carry the Lord and Savior Jesus, the Son of God. And people were ridiculing her because it wasn't a natural birth, right? Incarnation. And she was obedient. God told her to move, went to Egypt. God, man, can you imagine picking up your entire life and just going somewhere, being obedient? My gosh, I can't imagine right now God saying, all right, you're going to give away all your money, and I want you to go to Egypt and preach the gospel. If God was to tell me that right now, I'd be like, I would question him about 15 times. I really would. I would reach out to people and be like, hey, am I actually hearing from God about this? I would reach out to all people that are in the church, leaders, and be like, hey, am I actually hearing this? But Mary didn't. She didn't have all those people, right? All she had was her, God, and Joseph. And she heard this, and they picked her stuff up, and they left. And then we get to Jesus' ministry. Well, 30 years. I want people to think about that for a second. 30 years she waited for her son to start his ministry. 30 years. That's a long time. It's a long time. She got to see him. We don't know much about Jesus from a young age. John tells us a little bit. He tells us that at 12 years old, he was in the temple Some people could say he ran away from his parents. Technically, he didn't. He was faithful. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was in the temple. He was preaching the gospel. He was teaching leaders. So back then, leaders of the church like that, they actually knew the entire, you know, the Pentateuch, I guess you could say, the first five books of the Bible is all they had back then. They knew it. I mean, they knew it front and back. You know, you could close the Bible and or whatever they had, and they could tell you, you know, what was right behind it. And Jesus was actually teaching them at 12 years old, and they were just amazed by this kid. And Jesus comes to him and says, hey, don't you know that this is where I'd be in the house of the Lord? Can you imagine a little 12-year-old kid saying that, sticking up to his mom like that? But 30 years, you know, she waited for him. And finally, on the night of a celebration, a wedding night, out of all nights, a time of celebrating, you know, two people coming together, Mary goes up to her son and says, you know, what are you going to do? And he's like, woman, it's not my time yet. What are you talking about? And she turns around, goes and tells people, you do whatever he says. And Jesus is like, well, I guess it's happening now. And so I always thought about, you know, is that, you know, Jesus disobeying? Is that Mary going against God? Well, no, because in the Bible it tells us to honor your father and mother. So Jesus honored his mother's wishes, which were still God's wishes. So therefore, it was right for her to say that. She just got, you could say she got a little impatient. Well, yeah, she got a little impatient. She waited 30 years. She was waiting for a long time, and she was patient with him. And so we talk about Mary, we talk about Isaiah, we talk about Jeremiah and David. You know, these are real, real people with real stories. These aren't fake. These are real, real historical accounts that happened. Real people. And so we can say that whatever we're going through right now, man, no one else has ever gone through this. I'm here to tell you it's not. There are people here today, online, out there in the streets, in the Bible years, thousands of years ago, that have been waiting just like we are, just like you are. And just like a waitress does, they serve. They wait, and they serve. They serve God while they're waiting. And so we got to be patient like David was. We got to trust God like Jeremiah did, trusted God. We also stand firm. Right, so I'm going to read you that verse. Therefore, so this is 1 Corinthians 15, 58, just one verse. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So serving the Lord is not in vain. Trusting God, is he not worthy of our trust? Is he not worthy of our patience? Is he not worthy of us to have our confidence in him? We talk about waiting and what it is to prepare a meal. Man, we can prepare a really good meal, and we can trust in our own cooking, but we can't trust in God's preparations for what he has for us. Because I can tell you right now, anything that God's cooking up and preparing is far greater than any meal you'll ever eat in your entire life. And that is true. Whatever God starts in you, if he started something in you, if he spoke something in you, if he's been doing something in you, he's going to complete it. It may not happen when we want it. It may not happen 5 minutes from now, 10 minutes from now. It could. It might be 15, 20 years from now. But while we're waiting, he's renewing our strength. So while we are putting our trust in him, while we are being patient with him, while our confidence is being in him, and we're standing firm, taking up on the full armor of God, that's our strength. That's where our strength comes from. He's our strength. He is worthy of our confidence. He started something here in our church, He's going to complete it. He's rose up many leaders and people in this church, members who are faithful. I promise you, it's good things are going to happen. This is going to be something where we look back on 10 years from now and say, wow, look at how faithful God was. Wow, look at everything that God did for us. Look at where we used to be and look where we are now. So in your own life, you can look back years ago and be like, man, wow, God really did something for me back then. So why would he not do something right now? Why would whatever we're going through right now, why would God not do something right now? Why would God not do that for you? So my prayer for you today is be patient. Be patient with God. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with others. Trust. Trust God. Put your full trust in him. Trust that whatever he has started in you, he's going to complete it. Be confident. It's okay to not have confidence sometimes. It's okay to sit here and think, man, I just really don't have that much confidence right now. And I'm telling you, let God be your confidence. Put your confidence in him. Stand firm. There's some pieces of scripture that you can fall back on, that you can look at and be like, man, that's good. Take that piece of scripture, put it in your heart, hold on to it, stand firm. Stand firm in what God has spoken to you. Amen.